Base Sivan, Sunday the 1st of June, Rabbi Doniel Rowe, Megillus Rus. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmas, Maras Tzipora Bas, Rav Moshe Cohen Oleh HaShalom, by her family.
The minhag is so we the aroch actually we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, and there's many reasons given as to why it's appropriate, either because of the geirus, because the conversion is actually parallel to our Kabbalah Satoira, or because of the birthday of David HaMelech, who is born and dies on Shavuos and is referenced in Megillas Rus. I wanna add an extra dimension to all this. There's others as well. The time that took place is also between the Tzira Sa'om, the harvest of the wheat, of the barley to the wheat, which is also this time of year. I want to add a dimension to that by looking at some of the key parts of the Sefer. What exactly are we going to be learning from Megillas Rus? But I want to also really maybe ask, I mean, truth is, every Sefer Tanachi can do this. You can really tell what the purpose of the Sefer is by looking at its opening Pesukim and its closing Pesukim. That usually shows you what's moving in between. And Megillas Rus is a transitional sefer because it begins by Hibimei Shvoit HaShoftim, right in the time of the Shoftim, and it ends with the introduction of David HaMelech. And therefore it's a movement between the time when there was no Melech B'Yisrael, to the time when there was no king, to the time when there was. And in fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that the author of Rus is none other than Shmuel HaNavi, who of course that was his role, to be the last of the Shoftim, the last of the era of judges, and the first to anoint the Melachim, the kings of Yisrael. But in that context, if we actually take a look at, there's a background issue that's lurking all the time in Megillas Rus, both because it comes from the end of Sefer Shoftim, the book of Shoftim, and because of the way it's structured, the story, the episodes that are going on. You see, Shoftim ends with a story of Pelegesh Begiva. It ends with a story that is reminiscent to when parts of Klal Yisrael behaved essentially like Sodom, in not being able to accept guests, not being able to do chesed, and resulting in death in the end, in tragedy, in civil war, in nearly the decimation of Shevet Binyamin. Right, ends in the tragic elements of Sodom, and that is the implication of the end of Sefer Shoftim, therefore, is this is Ein Melech B'Yisrael Isha Yosha Ben of Yaseh doesn't always end very well. And in fact, not only is that sort of Sodom element, something to think about at the end of the Vayibi Meshra to Shoftim, but in fact it comes to the fore very quickly, because Sodom's derivative culture was Moav. The survivor of Sodom was Lot, and the child of Lot after the disaster is Moav, and the whole beginning of Megillas Rus takes place with the great people of Israel moving out to Moav when there's a famine. Why do they move to Moav? Because there's famine. That actually the rich people are the last people who have to worry. They have their grain stored up. And Moav is hardly going to be a different climate to Yisrael. They're right next door. But you're moving across, as Chazal tell us, because they didn't want to be Mepharis. They didn't want to give to the poor. And there's one culture in the world that understands you don't give to stock or that's going to be Moav. So this movement of the Ephrosim, the elite, the noble, the great people, who are called Ish, they're called great tzaddikim up to that point, potentially, or certainly very noble people, depends which way we learn the Midrashim and Gemara, but essentially, they are moving out of town. In other words, the beginning of Megillas Rus, therefore, has a series of problems. One is Vayibimei Shvoit HaShoftim. Shvoit HaShoftim, Chazal HaDorish, the redundant verb there, is Dorish HaShofet HaShvatov. The people were judging their judges. You know, you tell us to take the toothpick out of our, we'll tell you take the beam out of your eye. This is a generation where they were judging the Shoftim and attacking them. This is a generation where economically everything had broken down, the Hirav Ba'aretz, and it's a generation where everything spiritually and morally is broken down in that the rich people, the supporters, the Parnassim, are running away to a world of Moav, where you do not need to do chesed, where the Aniyim can't chase after them. And so this begins with this tremendous background. Now, the truth is that we feel all the way through, if we're listening carefully, this issue of Moav. Moav is a dominant theme. It goes right to the end. Can you actually marry a Moav? VR? Moav, yes, no. The drosh is actually given to be matir, a woman from Moav, only in Megillas Rus, which eventually gets used, first darshaned by Boaz, then used by Boaz, and the sense of Rus herself. But at the end of the first parak of Rus, as she comes back, there's an interesting pasuk, which reads like this. The two of them went, etc. Sorry, that's not the post I was thinking of. The last pasuk. Normi comes back, and Rus the Moavia Kalosa, Ima with her, Hashava Mistemayov, who returns from Stemayov. Now you could read that going on Normi, but the Pshuta Shel Mikra is not, it's actually going on Rus. Rus is called Hashava Mistemayov, who comes back from Stemayov. Where is she coming back from? She's never been here in Eretz Yehuda before. Has a number of answers. But perhaps the deepest goes back to those, the Midrashim that link it all the way back. She's Shova because Lot left Avraham centuries earlier and went to Sodom. Lot was meant to be a part of the Binyan of Klal Yisrael, but Lot left. He went away, he went to Sodom. And even though Avraham brought him back, he went back again. And at the end, when Sodom's destroyed, he won't go back to Avraham Avinu, as the Rashis in Vayera tell us. No, he's got to stay away. And he builds Moav. And all this time we've been waiting for somebody to come back. And she is the Shava Mistei Moav. Now what is the significance of all this? Rus is the Shava, she's returning from Lot back to Avraham Avinu. You see many Midrashim that the Maram at this point will make it explicit. But let me just get to the depth of this. What is the significance of all this? And let's ask ourselves even a simpler question. Why did Lot leave Avraham Avinu in the first place? So we know there was a Taivas Momon. But if you think about it, he'd become rich through Avraham Avinu. Gamla Lot Elich Avraham, he gets all his wealth came from Avraham. Everything Lot had came from Avraham Avinu. So even if he has a Taivas Momon, what is wrong with staying with Avraham Avinu? He's doing pretty well. Everything he is and everything he's become is because of Avraham. And the Teretz is, I heard once the Teretz that was linked specifically to Rus, but it's actually many, many places you see elements of this Teretz, and I want to bring it out right over here. And this Teretz I heard from a Shir from in Yerushalayim. I was once, we learned together the whole, I went to Shir the whole Rus all night of Shavuos night. That was like something special. This, the person giving Shir was called Matthias Weinberg. He said the following. He said, if you think about it, you say to Lot, are you crazy? You know, you're leaving Avraham Avinu, who's given you everything. Everything I've. You were nothing. You were Yosem. You had nothing. He took you. He gave you everything you have. He's made you wealthy. He's made you the heir to the greatest spiritual empire in the world. You've got physical guy. You've got Gashmi. You've got Ruchni. You've got whatever you want. What is the matter with you? And Lot would turn around and say, that's exactly why I have to leave. Because you see, my problem is everything I am and everything I have, all I ever feared is not mine. It's what Chazal referred to as Nahama de Chisufa, the bread of shame. It's that which I got for free. And at the root of all of this is a problem that lies, and Rav Dessler speaks about this, part of his essay, Elek of Chesed, is there's a problem in getting Chesed. A Baal Chesed gives, and somebody else receives, but somewhere within that Chesed, you almost coin a part of the other person. You give chesed and it's very nice, but somewhere in there, you know, you spend time with them, you give them money, you start to end up with that person owing you something. And you start to end up almost becoming a baal of that person. And the person on the other side getting the thing is becoming more and more busha, and less feeling like a human being. And you can be, whatever position you are, you're in this incredibly uneven position. And therefore there's a chesed, and the Gemara talks about chesed lumim chatos. Chesed can be the skadobar, the kantaran, the yehura. There's all sorts of things that can come from chesed. Chesed, whilst it's wonderful in looking after the person, immediately creates such a deep problem that nobody really wants to be the recipient of it at all. In fact, the person who gets the most out of chesed is the Baal Chesed very often. The other person is often robbed of so much. And Lot turns to Avraham saying, it's very nice, I was your little project. You became very great through me and you feel really good about yourself going to bed at night. And I feel like I'm nobody. Every time I walk in the street, I just this little, you know, every time I try and do a business deal and sit down with someone, oh, you're Avraham's nephew, you know. I'm nobody, I've become nothing. And Lot understands that chesed can be destructive. You can be giving, 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 and somebody on the other side can become so dependent that they're nothing at the end of it. And Lot understands, therefore, that he has to run to the one place in this world which will not allow any more chesed, and that is Sodom. And by the way, this kasha on chesed is not just okay, actually, stoma roima, you know, we don't have any, we're not justifying the kasha, but it's got, it needs a teretz. Because it's something every human being experiences, whether we're conscious or not. It's something children struggle with in relationships with parents. It's the teenagers need to slam a door in their parents' face because all their life they've had nothing but, they are nothing in the presence of their parents. I need to assert myself by saying, you know, a two-year-old needs to say no and smile. And a teenager might need to sometimes slam a door and run away. But it's the same principle. And it's not just a problem in relationships between kids and parents and those who are makabel and those who are noisenim, but it's a problem built into Kabbalah Satorah itself and actually built into Maisa Bereishis. Because Adam Arishan, how do you receive, how do we live in this world where all we have is Chesed of Hashem? And Adam Arishan cannot use the word, he used the word Anoichi only straight after a Chet. Suddenly he feels very himself. The Moran Sanhedrin tells us, he says, you know, and Oichel has an ambiguous word. Yeah, you gave me the woman, I've now, she tempted me, I've eaten past tense, but it also has a remez to future tense. I will eat. I want to carry on this. There's something nice about feeling separate. All my life I've just been a thought from your imagination, the Rebbeinu Shlomo. How can I have a relationship with you? Oh, now I can. I've done chait. And so there's almost an existential drive to chait, to just remove, to get rid of the Nahama de Chisufa, the sense of all I am is Hashem's thought. Now I've actually made my own decision in life. Built into Matan Torah is the problem. Kof Aleim HaRakigigis, it's a kafir. It's forced. Hashem comes into the world and says, here it is. Chai Olam Abba, just do this, this, and this. And we feel like, what are we? Just robots now get that little thing and get on the other side. Mudar Rabbele Raisa, says the Gemara. The Maharal says it was totally compelled to use his. The moshel is a very powerful moshel to what he, but he says it there's like a relationship that's totally forced. You have no sad in it. How do you sit there? We accept it because we don't necessarily. If a person took Matan Torah with a real deep seriousness, poskun nishmos, I mean, you can't even live in such a situation. How do you sit there with the brain of entering the world and all you are is a figment of his imagination? Giving your Torah, and all you have to do now is just, what do? And so actually, the reason that chait took place in Gan Eden, and the reason that it took place again at Matan Torah, is because something inside us struggles to be makabel chesed, full stop. And so the issue that light threw at Avraham Avinu is an issue that recurs throughout history, an issue that ruins Kabbalah Torah, ruins everything from the Nachash in Gan Eden to Matan Torah, to the reason probably we're still in Goddess to this day. How do you live in that type of situation? And so Rusish Shava Mistemayov is critical. And we don't have time to analyze the whole of Rus, but let me just show you what she replies to that problem. Because she's the person who's acutely aware of it. And you see all the way through Pesukim, she refuses to accept Chesed for free. Many places you see this, but one of them is that when Boaz offers her everything, she asks, well, why have I been Moitzah Chein Be'enecha? In fact, she insists from the word go, she's only going to be gather stuff in a field of somebody, of Hashem, and Tzachem, somebody who I find favor in their eyes. Well, halacha, you don't need to. An Oni can go into anybody's field. But she insists, and when Boaz says, you know, that's it, hello Shamat, Bitty, have you heard, don't go anywhere else, you know, stay here. She says, oh, I want to know why. And she's only happy when he gives a whole explanation. We owe you, you know, oh, fine, then. And I'm not going to be like a Shifcha, then I'm fine with that. But the best, she's, and this is amazing, is at the end of the second parak, where Rus comes back, and Normie sees the incredible, everything she's gathered. Who's this fellow who's done amazing things to you? And she tells her mother-in-law, and you know, we're listening at this point, I don't know if we're focusing on this possible, but if we are, we'd always. She says, the name of the man, who I looked after today, he's called Boaz. Ruth says, who looked after you, sir? And Normie says, who looked after you? Ruth says, you mean the guy I looked after? The guy I did chesed to? He's called Boaz. What do you mean I did chesed to? And this is where Chazal HaDoyrish. The Grom brings an Arichas, right? This is where Chazal HaDoyrish, that more than the Balabais does for the Oni does for the Balabais. The Balabais gives an Oni a bit of money. In fact, in the case of a Balasada, you had to give anyway. So what was the... Okay, gave a bit more, told her she can also... You know, fine, but bottom line... It gave something, but she turned him into Gavra, she turned him into Baal Chesed. The Oni turns the Balabais into something great. into something that's doimat Hashem, into something that's hai, it's not an even. Now, most of us might know that in our heads, but Rus was real. This is serious. You think this is one way chesed today? This was, in fact, not only that, I wasn't going to let anybody have the privilege of giving me tzedakah. I had to interview him. He had to pass the interview, and then I decided to let him, allow him to give to me. This is the beginning of a shorish of a different, what we'd call in English, a different paradigm. A different way of thinking about this whole thing. You see, it's not givers and takers. In a world where if someone gives and someone takes, everybody resents everybody. This one loses money, this one loses dignity, everybody's losing something over here. You know, we're thinking, why can't this one get a job? And they're thinking, why can't these people in big houses give a bit more? And everybody's, you know, and that's how the world works. But in a world of Rus, we're not in a world like that, givers and takers. We're in a world of what's called being makabel, sharing and receiving, to find the nearest English, where actually together we're building the Maisa Chesed, where it's not just I've got to give you and I can't let you ever give to me, because, but actually can allow you to manifest yourself in giving. In my receiving from you, I turn you into giver, and we're both giving each other. That together we're building the Maisa Chesed in every interaction. And it's a way of thinking that is so radical that it's the great transformation that takes place. And its transformation is so deep that all the way through the third perek, the minute Normie gets this, she realizes that means you can do a chesed for me and it will be not losing yourself. And therefore, I can be avakesh loch manoach hasheitav loch. I can find you the perfect shidduch and it's actually really for me. And in fact, all the way through the third perek, we have so little time, but let me just say this, you'll see the creek sieves changing all the time. So that Normie's saying, to her, she says, "V'yoradet ha-goyren, and v'shochavd, you should go down to the goyren." But the way it's written, the ksiv is "V'yoradeti, I'm going down to the goyren. You can v'shochavd, you'll sit lie there v'shochavti, I'm lying there." And so she's saying, "I'm actually asking you to go as a surrogate for me, but I'm also asking this avakish loch monoach hasheitav loch." Now, in a normal world, we think, "Well, one of us has to be getting it. It's my marriage, it's your marriage, it's this, it's that." But actually, it's the whole issue of Yibum in the first place. The whole point of Yibum, which is why it's rejected by Bnei Yehuda, Asher Lo Lo Yazara, it's not my child, it's I'm stepping in for somebody else. But a person who understands it's not this one gives, this one takes, this one wins, this one loses. But I connect, we're together building this Maisa Chesed, and we're both gaining from it, and we're both becoming something tremendous. And in me receiving, I'm giving, and in you giving, I'm receiving. We're all building this together. Somebody who could do that could do Yibum. Somebody who could do that can be engaging in a relationship that's perfect for them, but it's really for somebody else, and it's all the same thing. To the point where Rus can say, Koila Shatomri Esa, and there's a word that's written but not pronounced, Eli, me. I could pull myself out of this, and yet be fully present in it at the same time. The Kri and the Ksiv. And that is exactly how she is able to do this. And the impact of this is totally transformative. Because by the time we reach, and again I'm jumping, but getting the key points that emerge in the Sefer, by the time we reach the end of the Sefer, the people who could not talk to Normie when she first came back, she tells her, "Krenali, call me Mara if you want, but talk to me." They won't talk to her. They talk to each other. Zois Normie. All they see is Moyavia. We use the word Moyavia when she comes back in. We can't talk to her. A world where Boaz has to call out to everybody, Hashem Imochem, it's Shiloh, that's even maybe Eslas Hashem, how can you use Hashem's name in greeting? Because he's trying to show everybody that the pathway to Hashem is via each other. A world where the rich couldn't give to the poor and the poor hated, then everybody hates each other. Shvoita Shoftim and running to Moav. It's a world where by the end, everybody comes together. And they're not only Mavorich Nami, but actually two amazing things happen. They start to see Rus as an Ima, literally what becomes later the Ima Shel Malchus, but they turn around and say, Baruch Shem, etc., and they, for the first time, are able to call, they're able to say about it, they're able to put Rachel before Leah. That they're able to say this, Yitein Hashem as Isha Boel Beisach Ka Rachel Ucha Leah. The first time, as Chazal point out, that Bnei Yehuda, the Bnei Leah, have put Rachel before Leah, because they now live in a world where it doesn't matter. It's not Rochel or Leah's, and therefore we've got to keep fighting over and split the Malchus again and again on these lines over which one's the one. Everybody can be in this relationship together. There's a world where it's not a world anymore of I take, you take, zero-sum games. I give you... But Adarabba, a world where each one of us builds each other at exactly the same time. And this becomes a world where the child that Rus gives birth to is called Normie's child. Right? And it'll be loch, it'll be for you, Lamesh of Nefesh, Lachalke, Lasevasech, etc. Because, Kalasech, Ashe, Ahevasech, the Kalah who you loved or loved you, allowed her to give birth, for you, Ashehi Toivala, she's better for you, Loch Meshiva Bonim. And then Naomi takes the elevator to Shiseo Bechekavati Loilo Menes. The literal reading is somehow Naomi nurses this child, who Ruth gave because it was hers and hers together. And by the end of this Sefer, it just seems like Ruth is no longer in the picture at all. We don't even know where Ruth is in the last few Pesukim. Ruth has stepped out of the way totally. This is Naomi's child. And yet Ruth hasn't left the Sefer. The whole Sefer is Ruth. And this key understanding that we can start to step away from a world where actually the greatest act of chesed is often even the act of letting someone else give to us is the key to not just constructing relationships and not just reconstructing a town that had fallen apart, but a key to getting Malchus based David in the world. Because as David says to Michal Bas Shaul, the way Chazal learn it is that it's very nice, Shaul is the greatest onov Mikol Odom. But the fact is, if you're an onov and you are given power, an onov with power is also going to be destroyed by it. I, David, lesle migar meklum. It's not me, a humble person, ruling you. I'm not here at all. I'm allowing others to be built through me. I don't see myself as a person in a ruling relationship with you. I see that I'm just this vessel into which Klal Yisrael pours and becomes great things. Malchus is generated out of the space where everybody can integrate together and build something greater than themselves in every dynamic of every relationship. And in terms of Kabbalah Satoira, what Rus teaches us the deepest thing of all. It's not a Nahama de Chisufa. It doesn't have to be Hashem's given it to you, therefore we don't exist. It's that actually we can do keviyachol a type of chesed Hashem. In being makabal Torah, in letting Hashem give to us, we actualize the plan of Maisa Bereshis itself. We give the one thing that couldn't be given without HaKol B'Dei Shamayim Chutz Miyirat Shamayim, is the ability of something other than Hashem to say, please come in, we want you, we want the relationship with you, we want you to give to us. And in receiving, we are actually becoming the sharers in creation itself. And that becomes the shoresh, therefore, of how to rectify what went wrong in the original Nesinas HaTorah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, in our avoidah of being makabal the Torah, and through that being able to go from the broken world into the world of Malchus Beis David. We should be zeich through our Kabbalah the Torah to have that merit. You're talking then, fantastic. Any questions on what I said so far? There's so much more to say. Ganya.
Earlier on, you said she did not come from Moav. She did.
I said she came from Moav. Hashava Mistei Moav. I was asking not on the fact she came from Moav. How's she Shava returning? Returning means she's going back to Yehuda. When was she ever in Yehuda? She was, because Lot was in Yehuda and he went. Lot left, she's returning. That's the Lashon Shava, Mr. Demar. Fantastic, so we actually are tied to these small things. Any other questions on what we've been saying so far?
Yes, yes, please. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my ignorance. Who was this
The story at the end of Shoftim is this. There's a story of a fellow who arrives in this town. He has a pilegesh, and they treat it almost a replica of what happens to the malachim in Sodom. They leave them in the streets, and then somebody takes them in, and then and it ends badly. There's no malach to save them, and she ends up dead, and the man basically takes each cheder and sends around Christ and ends up with a war that almost destroys Binyamin. So I was just saying that as the remnant at the end, but fine. Let's bring out one or two more Yesodas then that come that are parallel to this, because what we see in the first parak is something really, really, what we see in the first parak is something very strange. Now we go back and iron a little bit and try to pick up this theme as well. In the first parak itself, what's the actual time to then? I must admit, what time do we finish it?
22.
Okay, fine. So we've got 5 minutes. Yeah, fine. Okay. Okay, no problem. I this is great. The most painful thing about going through this is like, what do you jump out? This is great. So let's add an element to this. So there's an interesting, right in the beginning, in the first parak itself, as everybody around Naomi dies, and Tisharish is left like a sheiris, like of a mincha, says, there comes that moment when the daughters-in-law want to follow her out. And this is the key moment that's going to decide the difference between the Devuka and the Neshuka, as Chazal called, the one who's going to become, build Malchus based David, and the one who's going to become the enemy forever. The B'nai Arpa always trying to kill the B'nai David. And the key moment is very strange. First she said to the first Naomi has actually turned around and said, Leichna shoivna isha leveis ima yas Hashem machem chesed kasher asisim emaveisim imodi. You know, go back. What are you doing with me? You've got homes. You're bnei malchus over there, Right? You're queens and princesses. You've got everything. Go back to your ancestral homes. You've done enough chesed for me. Don't need to feel guilty. You're all wonderful. You go back and leave. They say no, and then he gives a brocha. Hashem should give him a matzana menucha, right? Everyone should get married. Kisses them. Vatif kenon, they all cry. Vatimanolon, they say no, ki tochno shavlamech. We're going back with you. So they seem to have committed that they're willing to ruin, potentially sacrifice their whole life, everything, their world they have behind them. They're willing to give the whole thing up for Naomi. So she turns around and she wants to give her next sort of pushback, her next dichrei on the pathway to Geirus. And so she says, now, we would expect now a potentially great speech. You or I, if we were thinking in Normie's position, we would probably emphasize, I'll make more explicit, do you realize how tough it's going to be to come to Eretz Yehuda right now? You're never going to get married, and you're never going to have a life, and you're always going to be an outsider, and you're always going to be poor, and you're always going to be this, and you're always going to be that. And whole world, you have plenty of what to tina, and plenty of what to emphasize more strongly on what she's got back home. But if we think about Normie's answer, Normie's, we often just, I don't know if we all stop and think about this, but doesn't it seem completely outrageous, absurd? She turns around and says, "Shoyna b'noi, say lama selach na'imi ha'odli boni b'me'ai b'hoyo lechem la'noshim." Go back, my daughters. Do you think I still could have children? Now you can just imagine turning around, going, "Oh, we never thought about that. Oh, okay. Now we're willing to sacrifice everything to come with you. But the fact you're probably not pregnant, probably me." What is this? What a strange. And she goes on, it lasts three psukim more or less. She goes, Shoim no, kizokanti mi oislish, ki amati yeshitik, okama isi alaylish, okama lati bonim, halayin zabena. Three psukim on this. This is the winning argument. And shockingly enough, it works. Vatisena koinon vatifkena oi vatishak orpalachamaisa. Orpokis is goodbye. The rust off, and rust hangs on. It's like, this argument is like a hurricane. You're either thrown off, or you grip on for dear life, but you can't not resist this power of this argument. Until we understand that this argument was exactly the argument you give to Abbas Moyov. Have you reached the point where the reason you're coming with me is because you've become so dependent that you cannot live without me? Do you understand what she's saying? Next thing, you're going to wait for me to give you children? Is that it? You can't visualize the world without Normie. You just become, I've looked after you for so many years, that's it, you just become Nebuchs, and you can't function. And that has the exact effect that it would have on anybody who suddenly wakes up and realizes, oh, I've just been like in this cult or something, and run away. And Orpah immediately becomes the antithesis. That night, say Chazal, she started already the pathway to the destruction. In fact, the next pasuk already, Normie says, look, she's gone back El Amov, El Elahel, she's gone back already all the way. But then what is Rus's answer? And Rus's answer is a remarkable. Al tifki bi laozveich leshumach harayach. I forget which medrash it's in, which says she would have left. I don't need you, Naomi. I don't depend upon you. I don't need you at all. I'm not here because I depend upon you. But I'm going to follow you anyway. You make me go a distance behind you. I'll go. I'll never talk to you again. But I will still go. Ashetolini olin, ashetelechi olin, elech shetolini olin, amech ami. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you do. Why? So it's an interesting thing. You know, there's a big yisoid in Kol HaTorah Kula, though it doesn't say it here for Tzadok, which whenever Chazal adorish something, you always have to work with the Pshuta Shel Mikra and understand the drosha as an expression of it. And here, the Pshuta Shel Mikra and the drosha sound very different. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is something very poetic. You know, where you go, and what Chazal seemed to do is a halachic discussion. And it's very longdish or not as technical. It's like, well, there's Hilchus, you know, there's Tchumin on Shabbos. Oh, Shetelech Eilech, I'll stay in the Tchum. There's Hilchus Yichud. Oh, Asher Tolini Olin. You know, we have Tarek Mitzvahs. Ah, Mechami, we have No Avoid Zorah, Lekaich Lekoi. You know, we have Mises based in, we have all this. Fine, okay, I'll do all this. And they seem to be very different dimensions. Until we actually look in the Rishonim, we realize that actually they're not different dimensions at all. And this is something remarkable. If you look in the Rambam, when he talks about Geirus, and Pashto Shulchan Aruch goes this way too, is that in Hilchos Geirus, you have something remarkable. It says that a person comes and says, I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam says, I don't have it open in front of me to quote the exact Lashon, but you can look it up. The Rambam says that you first tell this person what a terrible idea this could be, potentially. You know, the anti-Semitism and terrible things happen. People get killed for being Jewish. If a person says, Afal Picha Ineni Kedai, you know, this is the greatest thing could happen to me. So You immediately mekabel such a person. And then you start being melamed them. You start teaching them mitzvahs halachos chamuros, exactly like we have over here. You teach them things like tchumen and things. But then you also teach them serious things. We have, you know, there's only one God that we worship. Ne'avodah zarah. And when you read that Rambam, you stop and you think, we just mekabel this person. What did they think they were being megaya to exactly? They're being megaya to what? You know, to something they thought they were going to do avodah zarah at the same time? Well, what do they think they're going to do? Right, now technically we can't do it exactly that way before the actual tefillah, we want to make sure they do know their halacha. But the pashtas, they didn't even do. So what was their kavana in Geirus? But I think the teretz is a very posh teretz, and it fits with everything we're saying. Is that there's a thing, there's an element where if you would look at Yisrael, and Yisrael were living with what they ought to be, then you'd look at Yisrael and say, that is what I want. I want to be whatever Avraham Avinu is. I want to be whatever Yisrael are. Normie, I want to be whatever you are. You tell me you get that by Tchumen, then I don't walk in Tchumen. You tell me I do it by Hilchas Yichud, I'm in Hilchas Yichud. You are like the walking, talking, I see something divine, I see something special, I want more than. You tell me that's because no Avodah Zarah, then Avodah Zarah is gone. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra of there's something drawing me to whatever it is you have, not because I depend on you, because I see something special, is exactly what is Munach in all the Remes. And by the way, you see that in one other place in Tanakh, which is where we answered the original Kasha of Nahama de Chisufa, in Kofar Emarikigis, and that's in Megillas Esther. Yehudim Aysa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasan V'Yakar. And again, Chazal Adoresh, Oira Zutoira, right? Simcha, Sasan, we have Simcha is Yom Tov, Sasan is Mila, Yakar is Tefillin. So say, Yehudim Haysa, Toira V'Yom Tov, V'whatever, V'Mila V'Tefillin, right? Elamai, but of course not. The point is the Pshutish and Mikra is that when we, it's not that we look at Torah and see Oira. It's not they looked at Yom Tov and had Simcha. It's that they, if you ask them, what are you doing right now? They are doing Simcha. How do you do Simcha? By not doing this and no Mukta and all the Hilchas Yom Tov. How do you have Oira? By opening the Sefer and Shteigen and so on. But the Pshutish and Mikra is not that I'm consciously, and by the way, I'm trying to get some Oira out of it. It's that the whole thing has turned around to a world where it is Oira and it is Simcha and it is Sos and it is Yikar. And that's the Hodjaki B'Lubim Yachashresh. And that, therefore, is exactly what it is that what we're striving for in this and what we become through this is something where somebody would turn around and say, Amech Ami Elekaich Elekai, that I see through you the living, walking, talking Kabbalah Satorah that I want to build into my life.